From WGCU News, this is Gulf Coast Live. This month, state officials announced a new program aimed at helping seniors struggling with reverse mortgages stay in their homes. The program is funded through federal dollars and is estimated to help some 2,500 elder homeowners around the state. We'll explore how the program works and how it can help seniors avoid foreclosure. Plus, Florida is among the 25 states that have chosen not to expand Medicaid coverage through the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Proponents of expanding the program have urged lawmakers to accept the more than $51 billion in federal money over 10 years to expand Medicaid, saying the state could end up saving money. However, other economic and health industry experts say expanding Medicaid would end up costing the state an additional $2 billion a year. We'll explore the pros and cons of expanding Medicaid in Florida. First, this news. This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm John Davis. Thanks for joining us. Florida is among the 25 states in the U.S. that have chosen not to accept federal dollars to expand Medicaid under the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act, or Obamacare. Administration officials and other proponents have urged state lawmakers to accept the more than $51 billion in federal money to expand the program to the roughly 1 million Floridians who currently don't qualify for the program, but who still don't earn enough to sign up for health coverage through the online health insurance marketplace, saying it would help reduce health care costs and facilitate the creation of jobs. However, another recent analysis from economic and health industry experts indicates expanding Medicaid would end up costing Florida an additional $2 billion a year, in addition to increasing the cost of insurance premiums through the Affordable Care Act. Later this hour, we'll explore the possible pros and cons of expanding Medicaid. But first, before the collapse of the housing market 6 years ago, reverse mortgages had been heavily marketed to allow homeowners access to the equity in their homes. And in the economic recession that followed, thousands of homeowners in Florida began struggling to pay those reverse mortgages and stay in their homes. In fact, according to RealtyTrack, as of May, Florida's 55,500 abandoned homes made up one-third of the national total. Earlier this month, Florida officials announced the launch of a new program aimed at helping senior homeowners with reverse mortgages stay in their homes and avoid foreclosure. Called the Florida Hardest Hit Fund Elderly Mortgage Assistance Program, or ELMOR, the initiative provides up to $25,000 to eligible borrowers. Joining me now for a closer look at how the program works is Communications Director for the Florida Housing Finance Corporation, Sika Green. Sika, welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Thank you so much for having me. It's my pleasure.
And I invite our listeners to join the program as well. If you're a senior struggling with a reverse mortgage, give us a call and share your story or ask your questions about the ELMOR program. Phone lines are open at 1-877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Post your comments and questions on our Facebook page at WGCU Public Media or send email to gulfcoastlive@wgcu.org. And first of all, Sika, before we get into the details of the ELMOR program, tell us more generally about the Florida Housing Finance Corporation.
So the Florida Housing Finance Corporation is an instrumentality of the state of Florida, and our mission is to help foster and provide affordable, safe, decent housing for Floridians in the state, whether it's rental housing or affordable homeownership. So we've been around for more than 25 years, and we really wake up and go to sleep knowing we've done something good at the end of the day.
And for those who maybe don't know, can you maybe give us a little background on how or why reverse mortgages became so popular during the housing boom years?
Well, reverse mortgages have actually been around for a while. I think it became more popular during the housing boom because you had property values and home values that were going up. And as we know, seniors are, first of all, we're living longer. And then secondly, you have seniors who really use their homes as their savings account. I mean, that is the largest asset that most people had during that time. And so, of course, if there is a way to capitalize on that equity and not have to have the monthly mortgage payment, and then at the end, when you transition onto the next life, some believe, or to heaven or wherever that is for whomever it is, then there are either life insurance policies that can pay that off for you. The bank will take that and you know, that in place of what they paid you in equity, or your family, if you deed it over to them, can then take over that home as well. So it just becomes or became a way to capitalize on the equity in your home and be able to do some of the things that you might want to do before you leave this earth, like travel, take trips, buy an RV, those types of things. Now, unfortunately, there can be things that happen in seniors' lives that they don't expect, so that the equity that was pulled out for that reverse mortgage now has to go to those issues. So, for example, there could be a medical issue that comes up, and so it requires that that money now went to that instead of the fun things that the elder had planned or the elderly couple had planned. Or, for example, the couple could decide that they're going to go their separate ways, and so they decide to divorce later in life. And so now that creates a burden with the terms of that reverse mortgage. So I think that's why it became popular, because it was a way to get to really capitalize on the equity in your home.
Right, and a very attractive option during those times when property values were rising so much. And how is this particular mortgage assistance program funded? Is this entirely through federal dollars?
Yes, it is. So the Florida Hardest Hit Fund was announced in 2010, in February of 2010. And the idea was that the federal government would be using recaptured TARP funds, and I'm sure everybody's familiar with the TARP program, and use those funds to try to address the burst in the housing bubble that happened. And when that happened, property values plummeted. It really became a significant issue throughout the country. So initially, there was money allotted to five of the hardest hit states. By the time that fund had been completely funded, or the program had been completely funded, it ended up with $7.6 billion to 18 states and the District of Columbia. And so those were the states that were determined to have been hardest hit. Florida's iteration of the program is called the Florida Hardest Hit Fund, and currently there are five programs that are operating with the little over $1 billion that Florida received. So we have an unemployment program and a reinstatement program that work in tandem. We have a modification enabling program, which you cannot apply to, but it is tied to some federal sales of non-performing loans in the state of Florida. We have the principal reduction program. That application has closed, and we are currently evaluating the some 25,000 applications that came in for that. And then last week we announced this program, the Elderly Mortgage Assistance Program, or the ELMOR program, that is specifically targeted to seniors with reverse mortgages. What the program will do if you qualify is it will pay up to $25,000 to cover the property charges that may have become delinquent during the time that the senior has a hardship. The terms of a reverse mortgage says that the homeowner is responsible for the property charges, which include homeowner's insurance, flood insurance, if that is required for where you live, can include property taxes as well as homeowner or condo association fees. When the senior comes upon a hardship and is not able to pay those, the reverse mortgage servicer, or the bank that did the reverse mortgage, comes in and pays that so that the property will not go into foreclosure. However, they will not pay that continuously, and at some point the homeowner has to pay the servicer back, or that home will go into foreclosure and the bank will own it. Banks are not interested in owning the homes. I know that that doesn't seem like the case when you look at some of the situations that have gone on in the country regarding foreclosures, but they really don't want the home. So what the reverse mortgage program aims to do is to help pay that arrearage, and then for those who qualify, pay up to 12 months of those property charges, while the seniors get a benefits checkup to look at ways they can free up income to be able to pay those charges moving forward.
And Asika, I wonder, is it telling that of that $7.6 billion, given out to the 18 states, including Florida and also D.C. through the Emergency Economic Stabilization Act, you know, in Florida receiving a little over $1 billion, I mean, that's a pretty significant amount, considering the rest was divided up around among 17 other states. Is that telling in terms of how disproportionately, you know, many areas of Florida, including Southwest Florida, were hit by the collapse of the housing market?
It absolutely is. So Florida's allocation is second only to California. Mm-hmm. California received, I believe, a little over $4 billion of that 7.6. Florida was second with over $1 billion. And Florida is widely considered as the epicenter of the foreclosure crisis, right there on Southwest Florida, down in the Fort Myers area. Lee County mm-hmm. is considered the epicenter, and that is where you really saw property values just plummet, and you can go down in that area even now and see lines of streets just lined with homes that have been foreclosed on. You know, there's several reasons that that happened, and I think that when you look at the situation in totality, so you have property values that were inflated in some cases. You have instances where they were overappraised. You have instances where people took out and pulled that equity out, be it a refinance or a second mortgage. Some of them did that to make improvements to the home. Some people did it to go on vacations and buy boats or second cars or add swimming pools. I mean, there are a lot of reasons why people did that.
Right.
Some people bought at the height of the market expecting to only be in that home 5 or 6 years, and with the property values going up the way that they were, they could basically sell that home and then go into a larger home. Like I said earlier, your home normally is the largest asset you have, and for most people, that was their savings account. That's what they were going to use when they retired. Well, as will happen, eventually everything that goes up comes down. And once that happens, then your value goes down. And in many cases in the state of Florida, you have people who owe significantly more on their home than it is currently worth. Now, the bright side, things are coming back. Mm-hmm. Property values are beginning to stabilize a bit. Homes that are underwater are not as underwater as they had been. So it definitely is coming back around. And so if I could say one thing to people out there that feel like they don't see an incoming or they don't see the property right-sizing, it's important to note that property values really are paper. And so if your plan is to stay in your home and you can afford that payment, stay in the home, make the payments, stay current on the payments, because eventually it will come back around.
We're taking a closer look at a new program launched last week aimed at helping seniors struggling with reverse mortgages. We're talking with Florida Housing Finance Corporation's Sika Green. You can join our conversation with your comments or questions about the program. Phone lines are open at 1-877-GCU-TALK. That's 877-428-8255. Find us on Facebook at WGCU Public Media or send email to GulfCoastLive@WGCU.org. And Sika, let's talk about some of the basic eligibility requirements in order to qualify for help through the Elmore program.
Okay, so first and foremost, you must have a reverse mortgage in the state of Florida on your primary property. So that would be the first thing. The applicant needs to be a legal U.S. resident or a legal alien, needs to be a resident of Florida. The household income in totality for everybody age 18 or older must be below 140% of the area median income. Now let me explain that. So the Federal Department of Housing and Urban Development, or HUD, sets income limits for its programs every year. So if you go on Florida Housing's website, floridahousing.org, you can search for area median income and a chart will come up. And so you simply look for your area, you look for the number of people in your home, and it will tell you what the median income is for 140%. This normally is not an issue because you're dealing with seniors who mainly have retired at this point. Some are living on Social Security, so this is not an issue.
Okay.
The most important thing when you're looking at this program as far as eligibility is that the total amount of assets for the senior must be lower than $48,000. Let me tell you what assets will include. So all savings, checking, and money market accounts, any certificates of deposit, taxable investment accounts, savings bonds, retirement accounts such as IRAs, 401Ks, 403Bs, 457s, or COG accounts, and any cash that's on hand. The thought behind this is if you have more than $48,000 in assets, then there really is no reason why your property charges should not have been paid. So again, we want to make sure we're reaching those people who do not have the ability to make those charges. If there's been a bankruptcy, it needs to have been dismissed or discharged, and the senior must have suffered some sort of hardship. Now, some of those may include a medical expense that was unexpected, home repairs on the home or for appliances due to a natural disaster, so for example, a fire, a hurricane, a flood, sinkholes, anything like that. Any unexpected reduction in household income, and those are going to vary case by case, so that's why it's important to get the application in and talk with the counselor on the phone. Any unemployment or underemployment, there are some seniors who have reverse mortgages who have not retired. They're currently still working. I believe a reverse mortgage, you have to be 62, and I think most people are retiring around 67 now. Mm-hmm. If there's been a divorce, and that seems to be a problem financially, or a disability that results in some sort of specialized equipment or the house needed to be adjusted in some way for that disability. Or if the senior was victimized by burglary or some sort of fraud or financial exploitation. So as you can see, those hardships range very widely. And so that's why it's important to go ahead and get the application in and talk through what the issue is to see if it would be qualifying.
In a teleconference, Sika, that you facilitated about the launch of the program last week, Florida Department of Elder Affairs Secretary Charles Corley was on that call. And I was just wondering about the role of the Department of Elder Affairs in terms of facilitating this program. Are they primarily helping you get the word out to your target audience?
Absolutely. Before I get into that, let me say that it is important that your listeners go to the Elmore website to look at all of the eligibility criteria, because I only named a few, and so I want to be sure that they go to that website. And that website is Florida Elmore, Florida spelled out Elmore, ELMORE.org. But let's go back to your original question. So we are just so grateful that the Florida Department of Elder Affairs reviewed this program and said, yes, we will sign on to help you get the word out about this program. They believe that it is vitally important to their mission, which is allowing seniors to age in their homes, in their environments, wherever possible. And it's for sure that that can't happen if the home has been foreclosed on. So Secretary Corley and his staff are taking the role of getting the word out on the Elmore program through all of their networks, the area agencies on aging. They have an elder hotline that they have the information there for people who want more information on the program. They have talked with their partners and their networks across the state. So their partnership in this is absolutely invaluable, and we are so appreciative that they have given this their seal of approval.
And let's talk a little bit about the application process itself. I mean, and while there is that web element that you had mentioned before, the only way to actually apply is on the telephone. And that was an intentional decision. Tell us about that.
That was an intentional decision or is an intentional decision. So although we are in the age of the Internet and many of our other programs, you must apply for online. And that really creates an air of accountability, if you will. However, when it comes to elders, there are still many elders who are not Internet savvy and who do not have Internet at their home, so it will require them really stepping out of their comfort zone to apply. But most elders have a cell phone or a phone that they can use. So we deliberately made this application process done via phone only. And so at this time, I'd like to give that number. So that number for the Elmore application and information line is 1-800-601-3534, and I'll repeat that, 800-601-3534. The hours of operation are 9 a.m. to 8 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. on Saturday. They should call that number. They will get connected to a certified Elmore counselor who can walk them through the process, work with them as long as needed to get their information in, and help look at their situation in totality to see if there are services that they are eligible to receive, thereby freeing up income so that they're able to take over their property payments in the future.
And I understand these counselors are, it's like they're almost assigned to the person. You're not going to call and get a different person every time. The same counselor is going to walk you through the process.
Absolutely. Once you are assigned to a certified Elmore counselor or advisor is what we also call them, that will be the person who will be with you through the entire process. Although you call the 800 number to get into the process, if for some reason the counselor needs to get back with you or you need to get back with that counselor or advisor, they will give you a specialized number by which to reach them so that you don't have to go through the 800 number again. And many times that's a toll-free number as well.
Let's take a phone call from Charlie in Fort Myers. Welcome to Gulf Coast Live.
Oh, howdy. How you doing?
Good. You're live on the air. Did you have a question?
Yeah, I missed the first part of the show, so she may have already covered this. But a regular mortgage, you make payments every month. Reverse mortgage, they pay you. I don't understand how you could be in arrears on a reverse mortgage. I thought with a regular mortgage, I could understand you just stop making payments. But a reverse mortgage, they pay you every month, or I don't understand how you could be in arrears on a reverse mortgage.
Okay. So for reverse mortgage, just like a regular mortgage, there are terms of that mortgage. And there are several different ways that you can get those payments. You can choose to get a payment every month, or you can choose to take a lump sum amount. Either way, you are responsible for the property charges. And so if at some point you have either outlived those monthly payments and now your income has been significantly affected, or you took a lump sum payment and say that some hardship happened, and so you now had to put that money toward the hardship, you no longer have the income to make the property charges every year because those property charges must be paid every year while you are still living. So when that's not done, the servicer has to step in and make those payments on your behalf. So that is how it becomes delinquent or in arrears because the terms of the reverse mortgage have not been met by the homeowner. Does that make sense?
What are the property charges? Property tax?
Yeah.
Homeowner's insurance, if you live in a flood zone, flood insurance, and in some cases, if you live in an association where you have homeowner's association fees, you've got those fees as well.
What about maintenance? You don't care. Well, maintenance, that's up to the owner as well, I guess.
Right. Maintenance would be up to the homeowner. For example, one of the hardships, if your house, let's say there was a tornado that came through and damaged your home, and so you had to pay for that damage. So that's considered a hardship. So now you don't have the money to make that property charge payment, whatever those payments are. So again, that may be something that qualifies you for this assistance.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Thanks for the call,
You're
Charlie.
Welcome.
And, I also just wanted to ask as far as how quickly the approval process takes place, what is this, weeks, months?
Probably weeks is what we're looking at. I think it first depends on how long it takes the elder to get that application done.
Right.
It is important to have as many of your reverse mortgage documents with you when you make that call, as well as your income documents, your Social Security number, your driver's license number, those kinds of things. So depending on how long it takes to get the application completed, we're probably talking about weeks, not months.
Gotcha. Well, that is all the time we have for this portion of the program. For more information on the Florida Hardest Hit Elderly Mortgage Assistance Program, or ELMORE, you can visit www.floridaelmore.org or call 1-800-601-3534 to get the application process started. I want to thank my guest, Communication Director for the Florida Housing Finance Corporation, Sika Green. Thanks so much for your time this morning.
You're welcome. Thank you.
We're taking a short break, but when we return, Florida has so far turned down billions of federal dollars to expand its Medicaid program to more of the state's most needy residents through the Patient Protection and Affordable Care Act. Have state lawmakers made the right decision? We'll weigh the pros and cons, looking at some new analysis just ahead. Stay with us. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live on WGCU. NPR for Southwest Florida.